who the cute is.
No, it's not time for the Cougar Cuties. It's time for the Entertaining Two Ramblers podcast.
Number one in the A-10.
I'm the host with the jokes, Dauber from the class of 1994. And from the class of 1998, he's the analyst with the attention to detail. And my younger brother, Sammy D. Sammy D, welcome in. Welcome in. Happy New Year.
Thanks. Thanks for unmuting me. Happy New Year. You looking good in 2024?
Yeah, good to see you. Did you have big plans last night? Did you count down the countdown? You had a countdown at like 8 p.m., right, for your daughters?
We have two countdowns because our girls are now at the age where they like staying up to midnight. But we did the 7 p.m. Eastern, where we'd watched on BBC the London countdown, which was quite fascinating. They had a big fireworks display over there.
We
stayed up until midnight and we did the New York one. And what was really cool was that in the spring, in April, we were in New York with the girls to go take them to a Broadway show. We went and saw Aladdin. And so as we were in Times Square, then as they were in Times Square last night, we could say, hey, we were at the Disney store, or we were on that spot where they were, the stage was. And so that was really kind of cool to kind of have some perspective. So yeah, a lot of fun last night, and I had some champagne and the girls had the sparkling apple juice. So it was good times.
Well, it was pretty non-eventful here. I'm trying to think what we did. We ordered.
I know I sent a text and got absolute crickets from Chicagoland.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm kind of in the moment. I'm being present in my life. I don't have all day to just refresh Twitter and, you know, your speed to like posts is amazing. I know that they pop up on your phone as notifications, but it's like I just posted something and like 10 seconds later I get a like by Sammy Dopshoots.
I'm trying to boost the profile, so.
Yes, so we definitely had fun, though. I think we just ordered pita in, and I'm trying to remember what else. Oh, well, the family that we're celebrating with, the other side of the family, not the Dopshoots family, but my wife's family, every one of us this week got a cold.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's kind of gone through everybody, and we're on the last two or three people. And so it's really thrown off all the celebrations. So
yes,
a lot of blowing noses for the last few weeks. So, or last few days. So anyway, I'm 100% though. So I was able to tap into your birthday present, Woodford Reserved Double Oak.
Yeah, baby.
Now I liked it. This is your favorite, right?
This is the favored of the bourbons.
Now I have one comment, and
it's a favorite of the bourbons that are readily accessible.
Oh, okay. Well, I have one comment. Here's my drinking note. I like it. It's good. I mean, obviously it's a well-made bourbon.
Yes. It is a sipping bourbon, not a guzzling
bourbon. It is a sipping bourbon. And for all you who are listening, I know you're really interested in this. Sammy has a rule. When you open up a new bourbon, you don't get to put ice in the bourbon glass. Yep. You don't get to put cherries like Dauber likes. Speaking about myself in the third person, you have to do it, drink it
at least one finger neat.
Neat. You got to drink it neat. So I tasted it neat.
Yes.
And I just picked up a little too much vanilla for my liking.
Okay. Yep.
I pick up vanilla notes. So if you like vanilla in your bourbon, and a lot of bourbons have a vanilla taste, Woodford Reserve is for you. So anyway, I enjoyed it, but I quickly had to add a little ice and of course, Dauber's favorite, cherries. And yeah, as soon as you add those, you know, it freaking, you know, pulls it together. You know, the vanilla notes blend with the cherry, and it's like a cherry vanilla surprise. So I'm drinking a cherry vanilla Dauber right now.
Nice. Well, two Amber fans, if you have any bourbons that you enjoy, please let us know on Twitter, and so we can sample those as well. So, and hopefully when we see you next, we can try some.
Okay. Yeah. Well, hopefully we see some other place than Bruno's, which literally has, I think, two bourbons. I think you can get Bullet at Bruno's, and you might be able to get Maker's.
There you go.
So it would be nice if they could expand a little bit. But, you know, whatever. Bruno's is Bruno's. So,
right.
Although I want to know what happened to Tim. Remember, it was Tim and Bruno's for a long time?
Yes.
What happened to Tim?
We never heard the story.
They cut Tim out. He's out. He's out of the life, I guess.
Well, a lot has happened since our last bonus Christmas pod. And so, or not a lot, not a whole lot, but we had a game. And it was a very exciting game, at least from the outcome, but not, I felt like it was a game that was very much not in doubt within the first 5 minutes. And so you were there, you got in the seats thanks to Bobby P. And the crew. And so why don't you give us a little sights and sounds?
Yeah. So Bobby P, who we've mentioned earlier on the podcast, was in one of these fraternities. And I'm really bad with the fraternities. I know there's a Psi in it, I think. He and his fraternity brothers graduated all in the last 5 or 6 years, you know, around like 2018, 2016. I think those. So they bought a block of tickets, and what's great is, you know, they're not all, I don't think they're all locals, so they can't always make all the games. And they're still Gold alumni, which, by the way, Gold alumni have such a great deal. Gold alumni can buy really nice tickets for like $11 a pop. And so their season ticket is like half the price or one third the price of a normal season ticket holder like me in my 50s. I'm not complaining about that. I'm not complaining about that, but I am a little jealous.
How does one become a Gold alumni?
You have to be, it's the younger age. You know how, like when you want to join the country club, you can be a junior member and they give you this discount rate.
While you
build up your career and it's the same thing. Loyola gives this Gold alumni discount. So I'm jealous. I'm jealous because they have good seats and they're not as, obviously they miss some games because they can't make every game, but they're not complaining that much because it's $11, you know?
Exactly.
So I would, you know, it's the cost of one, what's the Cleveland beer?
Great Lakes.
It costs the same as one Great Lakes beer at Gentil. So it's like, if you have to miss.
Although I think, I get what you're saying. Although I think it's not Great Lakes. I think it's something else. I heard it on the radio broadcast.
No, it is Great Lakes. It's Great Lakes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. It's Great Lakes. I actually had one, Sights and Sounds. I actually was looking for something different and they have a hazy IPA, which I had. So I actually had it. And I was in line with someone else who's like, hey, what's the deal with this Great Lakes thing? Why do we have all these Great Lakes? I said, I think there's a Loyola connection. I think.
Yeah, they're a Loyola alum.
A Loyola alum. So. Yep. So shout out to Great Lakes. Happy to invite you on as a sponsor. You don't even have to pay us with money. You can just send a couple cases, one to Virginia Beach, one to one to Dauber. We're IPA. I'm an IPA guy.
I'm a lager guy.
He's a lager guy. So keep that in mind. I'm definitely not a stout guy or any brown whatever. So,
although I did go to an Irish pub the other night with the family, we ended up in downtown Norfolk and ended up at an Irish pub. And I'm like, something seems really familiar about this place. And I look around and it's all Chicago stuff. It turns out the owner was from Chicago. So everything was Chicago memorabilia. So I felt like I was at O'Shaughnessy's over in Lakeview, or is it in whatever? But anyway, and so I had
You've forgotten their neighborhoods already. You've been away that long.
Ravenswood. I was
like, wow.
So Ravenswood, and it was real. I was like, but it was a little cold. I was like,
you know, it makes me a little sad that your daughters have Southern accents. I mean, it's kind of like. Like I don't want them to say, "Hey, Uncle Dauber." I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, Hey, Uncle Dobber. Uncle Dobber. Thanks.
You will enjoy this, and this will, you know, this will make your day. So the other day, Elsa, my youngest, was saying, hey, we're trying to call different people. We tried to call Uncle Dobber for his birthday. We didn't get the, it didn't work. But anyway, she goes, oh, let's call Uncle Dobber. He's funny. I love talking to him. I was like, nice. He's going to love that.
Wonderful. Love it. Well, all
right, back to the game.
Well, hold on. Just one side note. It was my birthday. You posted a little meme. This was a couple days ago.
Yes.
But that wasn't the meme that warmed my heart. It was a Dimitri Alston yes, wishing me a happy birthday with a Rihanna meme. Yes. Now, if you're a hardcore Two Rambler fan, and there's about four of you, you know, a couple weeks ago, I said, I'm waiting. I can't wait for the season to start because Dimitri Alston will be on it with her Rihanna memes. And since then, she's only spoken Rihanna memes. It's like her language now, Rihanna memes. But to get a Rihanna meme happy birthday, I want to say that was my highlight of my birthday. Just because... because it's so clever. Like it's like not it's like a thing within a thing, right? It's yes. It's not just her wishing me a happy birthday, it's wishing me with a Rihanna meme, which is a callback to an earlier
Two
Ramblers podcast. All right. Yes. So sights and sounds. Well, first of all, so Bobby P set us up. We sat next to Pat and Julia, both Ramblers. Nice. Pat is a fraternity brother, Bobby Pete. He also was a manager of the team before the CBI era.
Yeah, that would have been the 14-15 era.
Yeah, so I think he was a manager for 3 years. And Julia, huge fan. They went to Brooklyn last year. That's how big of fans they are. They're going to Brooklyn again this year.
Year for Brooklyn.
She had a ring on. I don't know if they're married. But I asked her, are you like a Rambler by relationship or are you a Rambler by... And she goes, no, I went to Loyola. So she was very proud.
Nice.
I love proud Loyola alumnus. Alumnus? Yes. Alumnae? What do you say?
I think he said alumni.
What do you say for a...
an alumnus, because a singular is alumnus.
Yeah, but what about for a female alumni? Isn't there a special?
It's gender neutral.
I thought it was alumni. Alumni? My bad. Yeah, someone will correct us.
Yes, please correct us. Two Ramblers.
Also in this section was Rambler Jack, who used to sit behind me last year in our previous section. Alec, the Protestant minister at University Ministry.
Yeah.
He introduced himself and I told him that you and I were both in, you know, Protestant groups or, you know, not all Protestants. There were Catholics in the group, but Christian groups on campus. So he was, of course, shocked to hear that. probably listened to the podcast first and then was like, what? you know, hopefully he didn't listen when we were doing the Lou the Dark Lord bit. He'd probably be questioning us. But it was great to meet him. But here's the coolest meet of the night with Rambler Jack and Alec, the minister, was Dave from Talking Blurs.
Hey!
Yeah.
Shout out to Dave, Talking Blurs.
So it was a huge.
Saw the pic on Twitter as well.
It was a huge sort of podcast, you know.
Meetup.
And what was really cool about this is Dave's first live game in a while. He lives in D.C., up by you.
Wait, really?
Yeah. So I was thinking you two got to get together for a Richmond game one of these games.
The two in D.C., yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. I was kind of wondering where his partner is. Maybe we should just switch partners. If his partner lives here, why don't I get together with him? What's the partner's name? Do you know?
John,
yeah. Does John, if you live in Chicago, come by and we'll do a live podcast together. We'll call it the Two Ramblers... Talking
Blurs
with the Two Ramblers cheating on our significant other. No, cheating on our podcast co-host show. So anyway, that was kind of cool, and it was great to he introduced himself. I complimented him on his Twitter Spaces. For those of you guys don't know,
after most of the games, they do.
If you go on Twitter after the game or somewhat after the game, you can click into this thing. If you follow Talking Blurs, it'll say Twitter Spaces. You can click on it, and you can hear audio, kind of an audio. It's hard to explain. It's almost like
a live podcast, and you can
raise your hand. Sometimes you can speak, ask questions. So and you can text questions too. So I compliment him on that. I love that. I don't think we're organized enough to do that.
yes, because for a lot of the times we're watching the game after on delay because of our work schedules and everything.
Exactly. Like that, right. So
if you're at the game, you obviously can't get on Twitter right away.
And great service though to the Rambler Nation. So great to meet him. So one other sad note before we get into basketball talk, and I need to make sure I have my sound sample here, is I have a sad report. Rogers Park, Pork Chop has faded. Is closed. So the home for Ramblers hoops when they're away, and the Ramblers pregame and postgame destination is now closed.
It didn't even last a season.
Yeah, and it has been verified on Yelpers have verified that it's closed. Another friend of ours, friend of the podcast, who does ad reads during games on the public address
in the stadium,
has said that they have struck the references to Pork Chop. So it is gone. So yet again, we are stuck with now that Bulldog Road became a brunch place.
A brunch place.
We're down to Bruno's again.
Why don't they just throw him something? You know, but I guess
George Ireland Pub, of course, closed. You know, at any time that you really want to go, right. And so they're not open. And that
isn't the Candlelight. Aren't they Loyola people?
Well, Candlelight you can go to, but it's not very close. I mean, we've already talked about this.
Oh, we talked about this. Moody's Pub,
Candlelight, Moody. I mean, really, the closest bar.
Yeah.
The closest bar now is the Granville Anvil. I'm thinking that I think we should just go to the Granville Anvil now. Like we should just take it over. Like make it a Loyola Rambler bar. Just say, hey, can we just come here during away games?
Yeah, might as well.
I mean, there's no other bars now.
Wow.
I don't know how a college doesn't attract at least one or two bars. I mean, there's the Oasis still. So I mean, I guess that could be. We got the Oasis. I mean, that's it now. The Oasis, Granville Anvil.
Wow.
I think there's one other bar on Broadway farther down, maybe at Granville or a little farther down.
What? It's a pumping company. No longer the pumping company.
I don't think there's anything there. So, Dino's is still at Clark and Devon. And Canine's is still at maybe Glenwood and Devon. So, I mean, of course, Canine's doesn't have a TV, though. So, last I checked, I mean, they used to have just a cat that sat up where the TV should be.
Oh, my gosh. This is horrible.
It's just very sad.
Let's get to basketball. This is...
Yeah, what did you see in the game basketball-wise? I'm sure, what are we, 40 minutes in the episode and haven't talked about Rambler's hoops yet? We talk about it from a different perspective.
Exactly. this is know, hey, we like sights and sounds and the story and the people. That's what True Ramblers is about. You know, we're about the community, about the tapestry of fandom. This was a quintessential Loyola Rambler basketball game that everyone is clamoring for every game.
I thought that you were going to say this is the quintessential Dauber game. This is the perfect Dauber game. Just okay, well, Dauber has fun from the minute it starts till the minute it ends.
Yes. And then Dauber has moments because the game's kind of out of hand that he can talk to people around him. He's not on the edge of his seat. It's like, yeah, okay, I'm with you on that. But no, this was a defensive battle. Right from the get-go, Loyola throttled the Chippewas. And I mean, what was it, like 10-0 before they even, yeah, it was 12-0 before their first bucket. So they were 5 minutes, 15:04 was their first bucket. So a lot of people, I think.
I was chanting shutout.
Do we still do the stand up before they make a bucket kind of thing? Or at least that, you know, but it's like, yeah, 5 minutes into the game before they make a bucket. That's crazy town. But they switched defensively well. And then Miles really showed out in the first half defensively. He had 4 blocks in the first half and then kind of powered down the second half. But it was a sight to see. He was excited to be there, and he played enthusiastic, energetic basketball. That was really fun to see. I think that was his highest point totals of this season for 25 minutes. And so, it was just –
Miles, let me say one thing about Miles. You know, he definitely looks like a freshman. I mean, he's a little slender. He's mm-hmm. very tall.
Yeah.
But he is very, I feel like locked in, he's got a very competitive attitude, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's only going to grow. I think exactly. He's going to get more and more confidence. And I think he is still sometimes at different points trying to figure out where he needs to be on the floor and moving. But I saw him different points, being on a mismatch where he had a faster defender and he's keeping him in front of him. He's moving quickly. You know, I posted a block. I got one block. I decided I would try to focus on like one play. And so I just waited, and I kind of had a feeling he was going to get a block, so I just held it there. But it was cool to see him play and where the guys sit, Bobby P, they sit in section 104. It's behind the managers, so right. It's that corner. So it's a real great view for that rim, first yeah. half. For first half, we were watching the defense. So it was a real great view to see him work. And block. And then in the second half, we got to see him some scoring. So, he did a spin move to the hoop. That was great. So I just think he's building in confidence. I think he's a great fit. And it really, I don't know if you were about to say this in your notes. It looks like they've really kind of nailed down a rotation.
Yes. That was where I was going next. It's just the domination. And again, this goes back to the thread of the season. Roles. Know your roles. And I was remarking on the fact, I was thinking about this of 2 years ago when the Ramblers, closed out the Missouri Valley, and Chris Sparks spoke to this a couple different times in the broadcast, about how they defensively, shut teams down that year. And I was like, you know what? They had 4 guys or more who were defensive stalwarts, and really 2 that were all defensive teams. They had the defensive player of the year in Lucas and then here as well. And when they lost all those guys, there was no replacements last year. And so guys were learning how to play defense as a new unit where, that last year with Lucas and the guys, they basically were like, hey, we got this kind of mentality when it came to defense. And Central Michigan game was the first game where I felt like they played like they expect to play when it comes to defense. They closed out well. They did not allow the simple drives. Looking at just kind of the breakdown, even by halves, I mean, Central Michigan scored 14 points in the first half and 21 in the second. There's 20 minutes and a half. So they were literally under a point a minute, which is like, that's unheard of. You know, for a Division I team to score 35 points in a four, you know, in a full game, that's crazy. And it's a testament to Loyola. You know, their biggest shooter, Pritchard, was 3 of 17. And so it was just, they were unreal. I mean, they shot 1 of 12 from three. And so that was just really exciting to see that if defensively, this is what, you know, Coach Drew talked about a couple games ago. If they can be a top 50 defensive team, then they will win a lot of their games because that's where the, that's where they can really thrive as a really hard defense and then efficient offensively. They're going to win a lot of ball games. And, you know, and I think we did not see this game last season from the Ramblers defensive side that I can recall. And so it's like, we're starting to see this. We saw it against Harvard. We saw it against now against Central Michigan. These are not, you know, cupcake teams. This is not Chicago State. Which not a cupcake team. But like, you know, the 300 level, you know.
Right.
But yeah, this is the Central Michigan where it's MAC. MAC is a quality conference. And so it's like, yeah, they were kind of muddling just like the Ramblers. But the domination that we saw on that game was really encouraging that going into the season, this is what you want to build upon. And now moving towards the A-10 season when the first stretch is like, I think this is like, what's going to happen? You know, are we going to see this team or are we going to see the team that just was like, you know, fumbles on themselves? And so I was really excited watching this and just like, wow, this could be something of like really, really fun season.
Yeah, and I don't want to be negative Nelly here. There were a couple things that concerned me. One, Phil Alston got four fouls, and a couple of them he seemed genuinely surprised that he got called for the foul. They all look like fouls to me. I mean, maybe one was a a bad foul, a call, but we really need Phil to not swipe at balls.
Right.
We need him to stay in front of his guy. He's so athletic. I could see him sort of, you know, sometimes getting into trouble, either getting behind a guy and trying to make something happen. And we really need him not in foul trouble because Central Michigan, we're not going to have the padding against some of our A-10 rivals that we had in this game.
No, without a doubt.
And then another thing that happened in this game too, and maybe this is just a blip or a kind of an oddball.
An anomaly
was he had four turnovers, including one where it was right in front of me, where he just seemed to get a little lost. He put the ball on the floor, was dribbling too much, then kind of got double teamed, got a little flustered, and then threw the ball into the backcourt. Just and so it's kind of like we need to expect double teams.
Right.
So that's gonna be and you know, there's gonna be times where obviously he pushes it, tries to pull a foul or you know, draw a foul. But there's other times where I think when two guys collapse on him, he's gotta be looking for that good pass. Yeah.
And again, I think this is a game in which you can build upon because I think teams will utilize what Central Michigan did, which was they went into 2-3 zone. They went into a zone defense because they're like they couldn't match up, you know, physically with the Ramblers. And so they went into a zone in order to slow the Ramblers offense down. And what Sparks called this out, there were a number of times, and this is one of the turnovers that you mentioned, is that Phil tried to dribble through it. He goes, you cannot dribble the ball in a 2-3 zone. It's got to be in and out. And once you start dribbling the ball more than 2 or 3 seconds, then that's where the zone then collapses on you, and that's where you make mistakes. And that's what we saw with Phil. And I know teams will utilize that in the A-10 season. They will go to a zone, and the only way you get out of that is if you hit from three. And so if the Ramblers can hit from three, they will negate people from doing the zone because you can. That's the easy way to get over a zone is to hit the three. And you know, Phil was 0 for 2. You know, everybody was really good. The one encouraging thing, and I'm sure you'll talk about this in a few minutes, but was to see Braden. He was 4 or 5 from three, and they were pretty and majestic, and it was just like, that's what you want to see. You know, 6 assists, 0 turnovers.
Yeah,
that is the game that was just like, oh my gosh, Braden, just bottle that up, and for the next 18 games, let's bring that out, and we'll be sitting really nice.
Yeah, it, I mean, and it was cocky Braden too, like with the guns out and
the ice in the vein, the three and the ice in the vein.
Yeah, the three. Yeah, I mean, he was doing hand motions as he's running back, and so he was definitely feeling it, which is great. I mean, we all want him to do that. We want that. So, so I was going to say that, you know, that's probably the only anomaly I saw in this game where it's kind of like, man, you'd still love for them. You'd love to for Phil to have just a kind of a clean game. And yeah. And then, you know, we did have 13 turnovers, which again, you're like, I feel like this team, we really didn't need a turnover, but I do think that zone caused some problems. Boy, is my phone on? I guess
it is. Yeah, what happened there? What was that?
It was Ed Meek checking in. Another Rambler. Let's see what he say.
Class of 91?
No, no, 91? No. Yeah, 91, 92? Maybe. 91.
92, maybe?
No, 91, I think. 92. 92. Okay. 91 right. Or 92, one of them. Yeah.
So let's you know, let's throw it out there. What awards do you got? We got, you know, JB's Giant Play of the Game, and then the Matt Hawes Hammer Player of the Game.
Well,
what do you got?
I'm going to go totally off script here with the Matt Hammer Hawes Player of the Game. And I am going to give it to, I think it's first time ever, Braden Norris. And the reason...
We'll have to check the archives. I think he might have gotten it before, but maybe not.
The reason why is this is the game, this is the blueprint that I would love to see in every game.
I'm throwing my hands up saying, hallelujah, praise the Lord, let's see more of these.
I mean, here, this is what I'm saying. Let me just look at this. Phil Alston, in 22 minutes, had 15 points. Okay, so we know Alston's going to be our leading scorer.
Yeah.
Based on the sample size we've seen so far. Miles steps up and gets 13.
In 25 minutes.
Right. Dez gets 10. That's another one that I love. But then Braden is 4 for 5 from 3 points, yep, and has no turnovers and 6 assists.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. If we could get something close to that performance consistently, like if he gets back to sort of his 40% shooting threes,
yep,
keeps a clean sheet with turnovers, gets some assists, I'm telling you, we are going to be great. I looked back, it wouldn't have affected us in the Tulsa game, but I looked in the UIC game. Braden was like 1 for 9 from three.
Yep.
He gets 2 of those, we win.
Yeah, yeah.
We win.
I think we said that after the game, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, he gets 2 of those, we win.
Right.
You know, and I don't remember how many turnovers there were in that game, and I'm sure there were a few. So it's kind of like so the difference between us really being competitive in games and losing.
He had 2 turnovers.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty good. So, but the difference between us being really competitive in games and then having some of these games where we're, you know, on the bad side of a 13-point loss is this right here. Some timely 3-point shooting and limited turnovers. I think so. You know, this is what I'd love to see. So I'm going to give it to Braden Norris just because it was exciting to see. It was exciting to see with the you know, shooting the guns and the ice in the veins and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
So if he gets hyped and he's feeling good, and hey, I'll take this just at home. If he has kind of games on the road where it's like struggling, or if the whole team has teams at home, but if we can start to shoot the ball well at home, that would be such a great advantage. Whereas last year I felt like guys are coming in, you know, teams are shooting 40-50% from three at the Gentile Center and we were cold.
Right.
And then we're in a hole trying to climb back in the game the whole time. So it was just great to see Braden. What about a? Did you have a play of the game? JB's Giant play of the game. Still JB's Giant. Still JB's. Everyone still open.
It's still open.
Right? Still open. Still, not closed. But
whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. Still open.
Yeah. My play of the game. And I'm pretty sure I may be botching it, but I think was. Miles is. I think he's running away with this category, but blocks it, runs the court, and then ends up with the dunk. I think was the play. And so it was one of his blocks, and that, or there was the early on was the block. And then I felt like there was, every time there was a block, there was a dunk that followed. And that was definitely true. I'm all.
Well, this really is a bad bit if we don't remember the actual play of the game.
Yes, it was a block, and then it was a defensive, and then it was a rebound, and then a good layup by Miles. And so it was just that, but it was the defense leading into offense. There was a number of occasions where that happened. And it's again, that game really was like, I mean, before it was 12-0, and then it was 20-4 by the 11-minute mark. So it's like, you know, as we break it down into the 10-minute halves, it's like that game was over. You know, before you even, and so there, I know that Chris Sparks and I can't remember the other guy, but you know, they were talking about dinner plans at about like the 10-minute mark, cause it was 22-4.
Well, and I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know if you noticed this 5 minutes ago in the game, the Ramblers starters are out there.
Yeah.
I mean, so Coach Drew was using this to really give some minutes and to work on stuff.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
They were not. They did not clear the bench. This was definitely a tune-up game.
He did that even the last game as well. Against Charleston Southern. He did that in the last game as well, where it's like, you know, this was not a Will Smythe game where he gets in, you know, major run. He got a little run at the end, but I think that's been really good. Because he's saying, hey, we need to hone ourselves because A-10 season's coming and we're not going to have many games like this where we can, you know, hone our offense and defense on against another opponent that is, you know, trying to actually score baskets.
Yeah.
Which I like. I do not have a problem with him doing that to say, hey, guys, we are not a finished product yet. And I love that. I love the growth mindset of saying, hey, we still need to improve.
Yeah, one other cool thing I noticed, Phil Alston starts the game in a pair of Nike, maybe GT Cuts. I'm not sure which one, what he was wearing, some white ones. And then I saw towards the end of the first half, the manager brought over the Kobe reverse Grinches, and he waved them off. But then I noticed at halftime he came out with the reverse Grinches. And I feel like he played slightly better in the second half. I don't know what the stat breakdown was between first half and second half between him, but he definitely switched to the Kobe's.
Phil.
And I thought that was cool. And, you know,
You know what? To Amber fans, I would like to just give Dauber his kudos. Is that a few weeks ago he mentioned the reverse Grinches and he said, without a doubt, there will be one or two or three players with the reverse Grinches coming after Christmas. And that has happened. And Dauber called it right here on the pod.
Well, yeah, it's a Kobe Pro shoe and it's very popular. So definitely. I did not picture Phil Alston wearing them though, because he's a forward. I would have thought guards. I would have thought a Jalen Quinn would be wearing them, or obviously Braden's wearing them too.
Yes.
Or Will Smythe. I thought Will Smythe would get lucky and get the reverse to his pair, but Will Smythe not wearing the reverse Grinches. So
okay, well maybe he's holding out.
So he's saving that NIL money from all those jerseys people are printing.
Speaking of the shoe game, what were the coaches wearing?
I didn't really notice. I'm a little surprised. I think I saw Coach Drew maybe wearing a Jordan 11s, mm-hmm. But I didn't see anything that was new, or I kind of, you know, they did release Jordan 11 Gratitudes. It's kind of a throwback color, kind of a patent leather, black and white. It's kind of a common or a famous colorway. It's not the exact colorway from the past, but it's good enough. And I expected to see them in that. So I don't know. I wasn't looking that close. I mean, I'll have to pay more attention. He always does bust something out really nice for the beginning of conference, though. So yeah. I'm very curious to see. There were some black Kobes that came out last week. He's worn the triple white Kobes from the summer at the practice, the scrimmage. So I don't know. He's worn Travis Scott's this year. Travis Scott golf he's worn a couple times. So I'll be curious to see. So Miles definitely. There was another couple of good plays. Welch came in, Tom Welch, and he threw a couple of great dimes. He threw one, I think, maybe to Miles, and if that's possible. And
I love the two of them playing together. I think that's always exciting when you see the biggins.
And then he also delivered a great assist to Ben Schweiger, who kind of had that baseline score that we saw a lot last year.
Yeah.
Ben Schweiger definitely hasn't given up on the team, is coming in with some energy. And I could see situations where, we get into fouls or other things happen throughout the year, and all of a sudden Schweiger has a bigger role again. One interesting thing,
and something we haven't talked about this, and I'm not, I know if I, as soon as I voice this, I'm gonna regret it, but we have not faced injury. I know it's coming. I know someone's gonna get injured.
Well, we lost Phil for a couple.
Phil for a couple weeks, but it was minimal. But like an injury that I feel like in years past, like even you think about the Final Four year, Custard, he went out for a major part of the year. At the Florida game, actually, he hurt his ankle. And so it's like those kind of injuries happen. So how does the depth overcome those obstacles? I really am encouraged, or I'm anticipating seeing that. I'm just like, okay, how are the guys going to step up when somebody goes down?
Yeah. I was going to make another comment that I thought was interesting. I was driving from Wheaton back to Chicago the other day, and I was just listening to podcasts. And so my feed was just going through podcasts that I had missed or not listened to.
Right.
Well, there was a random Bathtub Blurs episode. Did you hear this one? It was from December, and it starts with their music. And I go, I don't remember this episode. What episode is this? And then Hannah... Chicago Hannah, I will call her.
Yes.
I don't.
not Dallas Hannah.
Yeah, Chicago Hannah is there by herself, and she says a podcast that literally is this: play Sheldon Edwards, and then the outro music plays. So it was like a three word podcast. Sheldon did get in, and it's good. But back to your injury thing, and who knows what the rotation is going to look like. I mean, Sheldon, there's going to be minutes.
I missed that episode.
There's going to be minutes for him this year, and there are going to be opportunities for him. And if he stays locked in and dialed into what we're doing, it's going to be great to have Sheldon Edwards coming in. And taking over for Phil, maybe. And
not afraid to shoot the three.
Not afraid to shoot the three. So I think we're going to see Sheldon. I think we're going to see Schweiger. It's funny. You start watching the game in a game like that, and you start forgetting about guys, and all of a sudden Greg Dolan's out there. And you're like, hey, this is a guy who can help us. Dame comes back out, who we just called out a couple weeks ago as like the player of the game. He's out there. And he's filling in for Miles.
Both Greg and Dame, they both played 13 and 11 minutes respectively. And it was just like, it wasn't needed. You know, they're their stamp on the game. Whereas, like, I think had it been a closer game, I think we would have saw more minutes from them. But because of the way it played out, it's like it's not needed. And I love that, that it's like you have the versatility to say, hey, the game's going really well. We're going to rest you guys because we need you in those hard-fought, you know, just grinded out games. We need you guys then.
Yeah. And even Patty Mwamba gets in, plays, yeah. Looks like 11 minutes, doesn't score from the field, but got to the line. From the field, but gets to the line. So he draws a few fouls. Just because of his athleticism probably and just getting guys out of position. And so it was definitely cool. It's cool to see them have all these pieces and I'm just hoping that it turns into A-10 wins. So
now that you say that, the stat line that just really intrigues me is Jalen Quinn. He played 19 minutes. He went 1-1 from the field. So, okay, all right. 1-2 from the free throw line. Had six rebounds and five assists. Are you like, that's your backup point guard who just comes in and is like, hey, I'm just going to get six rebounds and five assists. And he's going to distribute. And it's just like, I'm like, wow.
And I honestly felt like there were buckets for him. You know, he's got that left-hand finish.
Yeah.
Where guys
I'd love watching him play.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that left-hand finish. And I think it was there for him. Maybe he didn't see it, or there were a couple times I felt like it was there for him. He did have one finish at the hoop that was great in that game. And I will say, if there's one thing that kind of happened a couple times in this game, was it's not that they got cute, but there was an extra pass that didn't turn into money. It kind of turned into flubby.
Mubby.
There were a couple of these extra passes where it's like, hey, I'm going to pass it one more time, even though I got a great shot. That happened a couple times. So even those 13 turnovers, a couple of them were, we had a great shot, and then we're just trying to be unselfish, and we're trying to like give them, you know, one more just banger pass, and it's kind of like, yeah, just go up with it.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah. And then I saw this from Dr. Rambler, posted this on Twitter, just like the athleticism of Jaden Dawson.
You know, I'd like to see that credential of Dr. Rambler. What is that? Is that like Dr. Pepper?
You know, did you go to school for 7 years and that's why you think you're a doctor? Or did you actually go to medical school? So, but just his post about the fact, the athleticism of Jaden Dawson, and like, I really think the ceiling for Dawson and Quinn, not only this year, but also into next year, I'm really excited about that. And so, love seeing him play. I was a little disappointed, you know, with Jaden. You know, he was 1-for-5 from 3, 2-of-8 overall. He had that one first bucket and then, you know, nothing since then. So it was just like, love to see a little more of his, go in the hoop. Again, I love the depth. This is something that we've never had. I feel like we've rarely had with the Ramblers. Like, it was only maybe 6, 7, 8 deep at tops. And we have the ability where it could be 9 or 10, which is unheard of in Division I, or at least it's rare, I should say. But it's just like a depth. And it's like, how is that going to help us during the A-10 season? I really want to see that play out this season. But looking forward to
the, I will remind you that Matt the Hammer Hawes did come off the bench. So it was...
Yes.
So, you know, he...
Yes, but he was like a 6th or 7th man. It wasn't like 8 or 9 down the bench. But, okay, so coming up, we have a couple games. We got St. Louis on Wednesday, and then Duquesne. Now we're into the A-10 season. And then follow that up with Richmond on Tuesday, and then at St. Joe's on the 13th. So these next 4 games, I really think if this is going to signify what kind of season are we going to have?
Wait. We got Duquesne. We got St. Louis.
At St. Louis on the 3rd, then come home for Deuce Kane, as you call it.
Right. I'll be there for Deuce Kane.
And then Tuesday, at home versus Richmond, the Duncan game.
Okay.
And then at St. Joe's on Saturday the 13th.
Okay.
It's like, I think those four games are going to tell what kind of season are we going to have in the A-10. Because St. Louis is down, according to most people. It's just like, where are they going to be at? It's like, you know, what every team that St. Louis, Duquesne, Richmond, St. Joe's are all one-loss teams at home. Like, I looked it up. You know, they're all like, you know, 7-1, 6-1, 7-1, 6-1. And so it's just like, okay, how are we going to be as a road team? And then how are we going to, you know, protect the home court?
Yeah. It's just like, here's what I hear in this game. First of all, we got to go on the road to St. Louis and win. Yeah. And even though they're down a little bit, they're going to be up for it. And
still got to put the foot on the throat.
Right. And they have a home field advantage. So yeah, that'll be an interesting test. Then Duquesne at home. Duquesne is doing well this year.
Yes.
So we're going to have a tough matchup at home. Then Richmond, maybe a little farther down on the old scale of how well they're playing this year. But right. We got to play them on a Tuesday night. And
they're, you know, undefeated at home. And they're 7-0 at home.
I know, but I'm just saying we played UIC on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
Yeah, we played Chicago State on a Tuesday night and really struggled. So that Tuesday night matchup. So here's what I would love.
I'm sorry. Richmond is 0-3 away, 7-0 at home. So right. that's what I want to right. call that.
So my point is, I want to see us go on the road at St. Louis, do well, beat them. I'd love to see that. A good road win. Duquesne, I'd love to see a battle at home. Yep. I'm not sure where we're going to measure up with them, but I really want to see in the Richmond game, I want to see us bounce back, or I want to see us do well on Tuesday, like, and not have that midweek's, you know, slump.
Right.
And then, of course, St. Joe's, I think they're one of the best teams in the league right this year. And
yeah, they're number four right now.
Yeah, and a couple of the guards that we saw last year light us up. So yeah. So that will be a test. How do we show up against them? And so it'll be really interesting the next few weeks. I was listening to the Three Bid League podcast, which I'm trying to work on an impression for, because the one thing, wait, let's see if I can do it.
They sound a lot like Rich Tarr, honestly.
Wait, let's see if I get it here. Let's see if I get this mic. Let's see if I can do it.
Hello. We're talking about Loyola. Loyola.
Loyola.
We love Miles Rubin on Loyola. you know, that's all I got so far is Loyola.
It's a work in progress.
It's very nasally and young too. They're young and nasally.
Yep.
And they'd say Loyola, Loyola.
Loyola. Hey, but they do know their stuff. I have enjoyed.
But I was listening to them the other day, and of course, they didn't mention Loyola in the last podcast. We're not mentioned. They have all these other teams they talk about, and they forget to mention us. But where was I going with this before I got distracted? Anyway, they were just talking about the first couple of weeks of this season of this conference. It's going to be real eye-opening because, you know, we're trying to see where these guys fit. You know, some of these guys have these kind of gaudy records, but then you look at the teams they played, and you're right. They didn't really play anybody. So this will be a real test.
George Mason, 11-2. George Washington, 11-2. But they haven't played.
Yeah, look at who they played.
Yeah. They played, basically, George Mason is 11-2. They're 8-0 at home. That means they haven't played anybody. Same thing with George Washington. They're 9-0 at home. They haven't played anybody. Nine of their 11 wins are at home. So that means they haven't really played anybody.
Yeah. So exactly. So we're going to see where they shake out. And, you know, obviously a couple of these teams are going to jump up and that we saw last year, maybe, and then a couple of guys are going to fall. So, it'll be interesting.
St. Joe's, they're 1-1 versus a top 25 team. So they're the only team that has at least a 500 or better record against the top 25 team. Or everyone else is 0-2, 0-1.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up. I'm dragging. I played 9 pickleball games today.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dobber.
I went 3 for 9.
3 for 9.
3 for 9. I played.
Are you playing with Janice or are you playing by yourself?
Well, let me answer it like this. I played with a number of partners today, including Janice, including Jaden, my older son.
Yes.
And we played different teams. And then I played with some other people too. Now, of the three wins, they were not with Janice or Jaden. So
enough said.
So it was kind of funny. You know, when I picked up another partner, I had some wins today. But
there you go.
But I am very tight, very tight. The IT band on the right side, very tight.
Got a stretch.
And so, yeah, I'm glad there's not a game tomorrow because I think if you saw me at Gentile, I'd have to be wheeled in. Even that game, that Northwestern game, my IT band was really tight, and I was kind of hobbling into the thing. So that's probably why I didn't go to the Jumbotron. I didn't quite have the hot sauce that I normally bring. So
yeah. So Wednesday, ESPN Plus, Rambler Sports Network against St. Louis, kicks off the A-10 season, and excited to see where the Ramblers. Because I find it interesting that even though St. Louis is, I just closed it out, one of the bottom teams right now in the A-10, they're still favored to win. And so that's how much, you know, the people think about Loyalist non-con. And so it's like, what kind of team is coming out to play? Are we getting the Central Michigan team or are we getting the Tulsa team. Tulsa game or the South Florida. I mean, Tulsa, they scored 77. So yeah. The South Florida game, that was one that was a dud, 64. It's like, who's coming out to play? And so I think as we have seen, I think if the Ramblers come out to play defensively and they hold St. Louis down, then I think they can win. But if they don't, then it's like, we'll see. But excited to see for the A-10 season to start, and let's see where we're at.
Let's see where we're at Loyola.
Loyola. Loyola.
Let's talk about Loyola.
Phil's Rubin and Phil Alston. He's good.
We really like them. I'd love to see them play for a real A-10 team. That's what I feel like. That's what I feel like they're passively saying half the time. Boy, I'd love to see them on VCU.
They were on
Dave
looking really good. Or VCU.
What's the coach of Dayton?
Oh, I should know this.
Anthony Grant?
Yes. Yes. Good to go, Dobber.
I would love to see Dame Delacunin at Anthony Grant system.
I'm just coming up with names there, but it's like they have all this stuff.
Frank Martin would do so well with Ben Schweiger.
Yes, with a Ben Schweiger.
I'd love to see Ben Schweiger, who was on the all rookie team of Loyola last year. I'd love to see him play for Frank Martin. You know, a real A-10 coach.
All right, we're kidding. We're gonna work on that. We're gonna work on that, guys. We're gonna work on that bit.
We do love the podcast A-10 guys. So,
which one? Which podcast do we love?
The 3-Bit. I do like that podcast. It's just a well informed.
It's not a bad podcast. It's not bad. I just think it's kind of funny the way they sound and how they pronounce our school name.
It's Loyola.
Yeah, Loyola. So, anyway, what did we play the outro already?
Yes. Let's wrap it up.
Well,
Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes.
Excited. Yes. 2024. I think it's going to be a fun season for the A-10, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah. So for the analyst with the attention to detail, I'm the host of the Joke Stobber saying,
go Ramblers.
Good night, nurse. I just sucked in some vanilla bourbon at that point, right in the call. So, all right, well, let's get out of here. Okay, we're going to turn it off right now.